Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the warfare.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, brother?
What's going on, Marcus? What's happening, brother? How you doing? Monday morning, Monday night, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's a Monday, right? Monday fun day.
So. Monday fun day, exactly. Yes, but especially the offseason. Our Monday's going to be very fun, filled with examining our different position groups, but this Monday, we got NFL Combine this week. It's a big week for incoming NFL players. It's a huge week for guys who may not make it to the league, guys who may go to the CFL, guys who may go to the USFL, or what was it called? UFL now, the United Football League.
UFL, yeah.
So it's a big week for a lot of those guys who, may position themselves to play professionally, whatever league that may be. We've talked about your Combine. You did a combine, Jerry, or you did a pro day, or you did both. You did both.
Yeah, your boy was one of the top tight ends coming out in college ball, Marcus. So they had to have me at the combine.
Well, I don't know if you'd opt out. Like all these guys are opting out now.
Nah, man. You know what? So during my time, I played in the Senior Bowl, and I may be the only one that played went both ways for the Senior Bowl, actually. So I played actually defensive end and tight end, just opened my stock up. I did a little bit of it in college too. But I went to the combine and we had one guy that opted out, just one. And I just had his name. He was a tight end from Ohio State, Ricky Dudley. Ricky Dudley. I don't know how to get Rick's name. Slick Rick, man. So Ricky Dudley, man, actually opted out of doing everything because he was actually playing basketball at the time. So he still came to the combine, answered all the questions, but he opted out to do any of the lifting, any of the running. And so he actually was the first tight end taken. It was between me and him in the draft. And so they ended up taking Ricky. He went to the Raiders. And so Marco Bataglia was next, and I was third. I was the third tight end taken in the draft that year. And I was second round pick for the Eagles. So had one of the most athletic showings of a tight end. I think I still got records in the combine for what I performed out there. So I know I was in 90 percentile on a lot of my stuff, right?
Right, we I remember you and I went through your numbers and stuff and saw what percentile you were in.
Yeah, man, bad boy. So
Yeah. This week, so like obviously night before the draft, that's like one of those like moments where you're kind of very all these guys are very nervous. Would you say night before combine probably more nerve wracking than the night before NFL draft, just because it's like you got to perform, whereas draft's like all right, I've already put everything out on the table. Now it's like whoever picks me. What
as far as nerves go for a player, what's probably more nerve-wracking?
Draft. If you're kind of a high draft pick, you know, around those areas, that may be a little bit more. Combine is just performance, right? That's what you're just trying to perform well. And so it's just like playing a game. You're going to get nervous before a game, before you get out there and show what you can do. And so the competition, because it's different from just playing, you know, get in a game, you're actually going and competing against guys, your peers in your same group, okay, measuring yourself against everybody else, right? And other teams are seeing it. And so they're sitting there saying, I'm going to pick this guy because of this. I'm going to pick this guy because of that. Jason Nunn performs better than all the other guys here. How is he going to help our team? And so this is what the thing is. It's such a great look to measure yourself against your guys, like I said, at your position. It's one of the ultimate things that you could possibly do. These guys are opting out now because they don't want to suck at the combine. Mm-hmm. And they want to wait to the pro day. Well, part of the things in pro day that you may be able to get is, you know, you got your own area, you got your own quarterback running, you know, throwing to you. You may not, some of these guys might opt out because they may not necessarily be ready physically. You know, they may be coming off like a little small injury that they don't want to either have them examine at that moment, you know what I'm saying? Have an examination of it, you know, and actually show something's wrong with you. So there's different things that guys can do. Mm-hmm. Push out for pro day. So you're saying pro day may be somewhere in March is where you got to, so another month that you have to get yourself ready. But that's kind of what you get into, man. So a lot of guys don't get invited to the combine. That's the thing about it. I mean, they're looking only for the elite guys to be there at the combine, you know, so.
What's weird to me, which I'm seeing a lot more this year than you have in past years, and I was watching one of the shows, and they were, a lot of these draft guys were getting pissed off about it, but it was the amount of quarterbacks who are opting to not throw at the combine, which is interesting. Obviously, guys want to be able to throw their own facilities and stuff, but, like, kind of, yeah, it's throwing, you know. It's not like, I don't know, like, I feel like that's the one thing these scouts want to see and these GMs want to see is your quarterbacks throw at these things. So it's like it's interesting that these guys are opting not to throw.
Well, that's the thing. They'll be exposed against all the other guys they're going against, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you determine if this guy's arm and velocity is the same as, like, let's say a Caleb Williams, right? Or, you know, Drake May out there in North Carolina. You know what I mean? So you actually get to go against a guy to see what he can actually do. And so if I know I have a deficiency in particular areas, well, I don't want to expose myself. I don't want to show that to everybody, right? Because they make a team determine, like, well, shoot, this kid ain't got that type of, you know, spin on the ball like we think.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at film all you want to, but seeing a guy with your eyes, absolutely. So what team, you know, players try to do and obviously agents try to do is, hey, we want to put the ball on our court. Hey, if you want to watch Caleb Williams, you go to him, you see what he can do then, all right? You come to us, you can see what he can do against us in our offense, on our throws, things that we do. So I think with quarterbacks, if you put that type of money, that type of bread in it, that's a red flag to me as a scout. I'm just telling you that. And look, and I've been part of that whole process going to the combine. The coaches are looking at what they're determining, what they're writing down. You know, so I sat up in the stands watching these guys perform and what we're looking for in our position, in other positions too. You run a 40? Yeah, great. 40 time for a skill player? Excellent. Okay. What does that translate when we run routes? When you have a different quarterback throwing to you as opposed to another guy throwing to you? How do you adjust? How do you respond to those things? So all those things are important. They're very important. And they try to hide this stuff, man. It's just a different way that you could get to control everything that you can, possibly the narrative, if you will.
Well, plus, the one thing I would say if I was a quarterback getting invited to this or whatever, receiver, quarterback, running back, any of the skill players, is like, sure, most of the college, if you come from a big school, generally, like even the small schools, you know, that you do your pro days with bigger schools. So, like, yeah. if I mess up with this one, I got another shot to do that. Whereas I'm only limiting myself just to my pro day, and I let's say I'm off that day, like, eesh, that's kind of, I mean, like, you're kind of limiting yourself in that respect. So that would be one thing why I, if I was one of these skill players going, is I wouldn't want to, you know, at least not, you know, limit myself just one workout in front of these coaches.
Yeah. So if you're doing a workout and that it's very they make sure that it is conditioned especially for you. Okay. You have a guy that's running the workout. Whereas at the combine, they had somebody that's running the drills and stuff, you know, for the combine.
Yeah.
You go to school, hey man, it's tailored for me. What I want, what my best throws are, what I want to do. Now, they can request that I throw another route or run a different route, right? As opposed to tight ends. They can request that I do particular things on the board. But more so, I'm putting the ball in my court to control the things I want to control. Now, here's the thing. You're right. If I screw up in my own pro day, then it hurts me. Mm-hmm. Okay? But at least I know I'm not in front of 20 other quarterbacks that I'm going against.
Yeah.
Screw up in front of everybody, right? Yeah, you might have a bad day, but you're going against 20 guys. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that will tell you a lot about a guy. A lot. And teams frown on that. They do. They frown upon those things. And I see it. I think Wendy said Caleb's not, he's not doing anything. Yeah. Well, you start seeing that, oh, he may not be as Mahomes-like as you think. Okay. Mm-hmm. He may not have the best ball as you believe. Right? His leadership capacity may not be up there in the top echelon like you think it is against these other guys. Mm-hmm. When you walk around and on the, the program for the school, they got you standing 6'3". They come to the combine, you're actually 6 foot. You know what I mean? Yeah. 6 foot and a half. So, yeah, hey, look, when you get to your college, you can walk on your tiptoes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I remember last year's combine. Obviously, you know, you take off your clothes and your shoes and stuff. I remember Bryce Young at the combine wore the was no bull shoes, and like it had the sole was like this thick on it to make him look taller. Well, you know, because you know the optics, especially with your quarterback, you want your guy to be looking tall. But yeah, he was wearing the no bull shoes, and the soles were like thick. They were thick and tall, and I was like, oh, okay, like this, you know, the optics of that.
But they get you down in the skivvies. I don't care. You got to take your shoes off when they measure you.
Yeah. So
we had, man, funny stories, man, from the combine that guys would talk about all the time. But I remember staying up there, man, and here I am in my grays, you know, taking my shirt off, and all those guys were looking at me like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's what we're doing. Yeah,
like a piece of meat?
Yeah, like a piece of meat. I was just sitting over there like, you know, like the whole – out of God's glory, just giving it all, like, you know, he's like, oh yeah, like, turn around, you know, they're looking at, you know, your back, your hand size, all of that, man. They manage it all. They're getting it all in there.
When you were at the Senior Bowl, you said you did DN and you were tight end. At what point did you make the determination, like, I'm going in as a tight end,
I was going in as a tight end anyway.
I
came out as, you know, the top tight end in the nation.
Right, right. Know?
Schools. So I just was showing a little bit of my versatility.
Okay.
You know, that was it. I didn't think it would hurt me any, but the more you can show athletically what you can do, especially like from EKU, and I was just like Senior Bowl, shoot, let me see if I can get me some sacks playing defensive end. And so, you know, I think about it, shoot, I might have came back in the league as a defensive end. I could have came in and got me a couple sacks. I'm telling you.
Right now, I bet you could, yeah. With the way they got these guys just rushing the passer now, they have like shooting guards and rushing the passer now.
Brother, I'm letting you know right now, if I switched over to defensive end, I came back in the league. You cannot tell me that there's no way that I would not get at least 6 to 8 sacks that year. At least, I'm telling you, I know I would. Shoot, I find it mind-boggling that guys are not up there with 12 to 15 every year. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. I'm thinking, hell, I'm being modest with mine. I'm thinking I would have got at least 8 to 10.
Yeah.
If I'm rushing the passer that many times, come on, man. You ain't keeping me away from that quarterback. You know what I mean? It's not doing.
You're looking at Frank Clark's contract from the last few years. Like, damn, like, this dude's only getting 5 sacks.
Blows me away. Blows my mind. So
I looked at the Rickley Dudley thing. I found a funny article here. It's an article, I guess, the Raiders scout who was impressed by Rickley Dudley at the combine. Bill Myers has been a coach for 25 years and has heard nearly every excuse an athlete can devise. But nobody had ever tried the stone cold truth on him until Rickley Dudley did during the February combine. And Myers, already smitten with Dudley's abilities, was charmed all the more by Dudley's brass. We were at the combine, and he was supposed to bench press, Myers said. He said, "I'm not lifting. I'm not prepared." I said, "What do you mean you're not prepared? How can you not be prepared?" And he said, "I just played in the East-West Shrine game, and I'm not prepared to do my best. You can come out to Ohio State in March, and I'll be prepared." It's funny. That's funny. That's like a unique thing now. Then, but now it's like, oh, he opted to just do his pro day. But then it was like, oh man, he's gonna do his just pro day. It's just funny how things have changed so much.
Tony told me one time, Gonzalez told me that when he was supposed to lift, and he opted out of lifting. I think he didn't lift or run. I think he ran routes, maybe. I think it was probably it. But so he goes over to the strength coach, right? You know, when you lift, you know, they all got you on the platform and you're sitting up there. You know, Jason Dunn from East Kentucky University, 6'4", tight end. You know, you come in, they announce who you are, right? Tony goes up, he's talking to the guys like, "Hey, man, listen, like, you know, I'm not going to lift. You know, I'm not lifting today." So, you know, he turns and looks at Tony. He's like, "What? Like, what do you mean?" Tony's like, "Nah, I can't lift today, man. You know, I've been playing basketball." So he says the strength coach turns to all the scouts and, you know, the GM, "Tony Gonzalez, California tight end, is not lifting because he's playing basketball." Like, Tony tells a story, man. It's so funny how he tells it. Like, you know, the guy's just like, "Yeah, he's elected to play basketball. Oh, so he decided not to lift today." Oh. So Tony's like, "All right, man, thanks." Like, you know.
That's so funny. And, you know, yeah. These football coaches, like, no matter what, it's in middle school, high school, whatever, like, any sport outside of football is seen as, like, oh, you're soft, you're playing something else.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, Tony's last year in college, didn't Cal made to the March Madness, right? So he was playing up until, like, the end.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Cal made it. I don't know if they was – were they Sweet 16 that year?
That was 97?
97, yes. Yes.
Yeah, they had a good record that year. Looking here. 96-97? Yeah, 96-97. Schedule. Yeah, man. Yeah, they won round one, round two. Yeah, they made it to Sweet 16. They lost. They played North Carolina in the Sweet 16 and lost.
Okay.
It beat Princeton, beat Villanova. Then, yeah. And then you play. They kept it close, too. 63-57 to North Carolina, Sweet 16. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I remember that year. I remember. Shoot, them jokers making it. I didn't remember.
Do you remember? Obviously, you became friends and tight with Tony after the fact. But do you remember like watching that? Like, oh, this guy's gonna play. This guy's supposed to be one of the top tight ends coming out, and he's playing basketball at like Cal. Did you have like any preconceived like, oh, like I wonder how this guy's gonna pan out? Just because I mean, like, you know, that's seeing like two sport athlete guys, and it wasn't common to see it at this point at that stage.
You know, first put me on to Tony was John Gruden talking about it. He said, "Man, you heard this Gonzalez kid is coming out, tight end Jason." I said, "Plays basketball." I said, "Yeah, I haven't seen any football stuff. Never, you know, watched. Like, I've never been really a big college football fan, but I watched him in the Sweet 16. I watched him play, you know, basketball." I said, "Man, he's athletic." He's like, "Yeah, man, he's gonna be pretty good." I said, "Yeah, he looks like it, you know." So, but that was pretty much about it. Hmm. You know, you just kind of know it every year, but you know, like. That was my rookie year. Like 96 was my rookie year. Next year was, you know, his year. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was thinking more about my stuff as opposed to like who was coming in. I was like, I'm here to be a star. That's where I was at. So
like locked in on your own thing, not thinking about other guys' careers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good team. I don't know if this team won it, but the team, that North Carolina team, Anton Jameson, Vince Carter, that's the team they played against.
Yeah. That's beast of guys.
Oh man, it's Sean Marks, the current GM for the Nets, also the big man for the Nets. That was on the Cal team with Tony.
That's Sean Marks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Damn. I love seeing all these names, man. It's like, it's the world coming circle. Because Sean Marks was a rotational big in the league, and now he's a GM for the Nets. Mm-hmm. And Tony's got connects in front offices, man. Bezos and now Sean Marks at GM for the Nets. Yeah. with this episode today, so last week we dove in a little bit to the receivers. So last week's episode, we kind of talked about, the left tackle being a vacancy, then also future free agencies that we have with some of these guys, which a lot of people are kind of looking into. But this week, we're going to kind of dive into who are free agents and what the cap situation looks like with our O linemen that are still on the roster. And we'll also look into some of the free agents that are out there who could be possible fill-ins. If we don't end up drafting a left tackle, which some people are thinking we're going to do that because it's a very deep left tackle class, this draft class coming out, but it's also pretty deep tackle free agency class. But we'll get into that, seeing who we got out there as of right now. So dive in here. All right. So obviously, first off, our free agents, we have three guys who are free agents as far as old linemen go. Donovan Smith kind of being the headliner of that. Obviously filled in did a pretty good job this year. Second half of the season when he came back from the injury, did awesome. Was great in the playoffs. Nick Allegretti, our guard, has been with us since the jump of the Mahomes era. He's a free agent. Obviously he's got I haven't really heard about what kind of surgery he's going to get, but with the injury he has, that's Tommy John surgery. So, and that could range to be, I don't know, five to 12 months based on different ranges of it. I remember last year when, Purdy had the UCL injury. They were saying he was going to be out for the whole season. Came back by the time preseason came around. So it was like, oh, whoa, all right. So who knows if he goes to that same surgeon. And then our guy who you've been a huge fan of him, JD, it's our guy Prince Tega-Nwaneogo, who honestly, like, without the injury bug, this guy could have been vying for starting tackle reps. I believe he tore his quad this year. He had a pretty bad injury during the season this year. He's a free agent now. Interesting to see what happens with him. I know we've been big, high on him. Our team has, so I don't know what's going to happen with him. What stands out to you with the three free agents that we have, this year, JD, with these guys?
So what stands out, these guys, I mean, Donovan Smith was a good starter for us. I think he did a good job for us, a really good job. He's a starting left tackle in the NFL, no doubt. And so, trying to either replace him and get a guy here, knowing that we got Wanya Morris, is he developed enough to take that over? It's kind of the questions that we're kind of looking at. My thing was, Donovan signed a one-year deal with us, the $3 million. Is it something that the Chiefs could try to sign long-term with Donovan for another couple of years? I think he did a pretty good job for us. Now, I keep saying that over and over again. Wanya came in and did a good job in the reserve role. The question is he ready? We know he's a big athletic kid. Still got to get better feet. Still probably has to get a little bit stronger. He can work all those things during the offseason. He should be, if he's not working on that stuff right now to overtake, become the starting left tackle, I don't know what else he's doing. I don't know as far as, like, do you address that in the draft? I don't think it's a high priority for us. I think that's what you try to explore, is either try to keep Donovan here or go all in on Wanya, right? And then see who you got, that could possibly back up. That's the question. I like Prince, Tega-Nwaneogo, the Prince, he was a guy that I thought was going to come in and actually take over at the left tackle position. because he's another athletic guy. Played at Auburn, was up with Philly for a little bit, and ended up coming out here to Kansas City. I was like, man, that's great. Yahoo, we got this guy. And like you said, injury bug hits him, and it's just like one of those things, man. It's just, for whatever reason, doesn't pan out. Guys keep having injuries here and there, just setbacks. But I like his size. I like his, you know, his grit, everything about him. Looked good in college, looked good when he would come in, you know, some of the plays, man. I mean, daggone. So these three guys, and then, of course, Nick, it's unfortunate, man, this happened with his elbow. But he was a solid backup for us, solid backup for us. So I don't know how long that's going to take. Will he be able to report at the beginning of camp for us? Possibly. I don't know. Would he be able to do it at least before the season? If he does, he keeps his speed and stuff, I think he'll be fine. But, he is a free agent. Do you want to keep a guy like that here? I think Nick Allegretti is a guy that is a staple here in Kansas City that, you know, he wants to probably end his career here. And I would look to try to make something like that happen, especially, you know, you still know you got Joe, you know, Tooney. And so with Joe, maybe a restructure is coming for him to get more money back. That's another question. But from these three guys that I'm looking at right here, all three guys can help us. All three guys, I think, are good players. I like all of them on the roster. I do. I like all three guys on a roster. So that's what I see. That's what stands out for me.
Well, the thing about Prince, which is so interesting, and obviously the injury bugs is terrible when guys continually to get different injuries. But Prince, like, at week three, that Bears game, Juwan, we're killing him, but we pulled Juwan Taylor. And I remember everyone's like, whoa, what's going on here? Juwan got pulled? What happened? And Prince comes in there, looks pretty damn good. And then Juwan goes back in there like, I wonder why that is. And then it's like, oh, wait, Prince got hurt in that game. It was kind of one of those quiet things that we didn't really know what it was. And tore his quadriceps in that game. And there was a chance he almost made it back for the Super Bowl, but then I believe they ruled him out shortly before the Super Bowl. But, man, yeah, like – And the one thing I will say with Allegretti and Prince specifically, I don't know what Donovan Smith, how he's going to break the bank this year, based on PFF's numbers. We'll get into the available guys, but like, I don't know if Prince and Allegretti are going to break the bank. And if they, depending on what their injury status is, how long it's going to take, we may be able to get a discount on them and I'll tell you what about Allegretti, which is so disappointing for him. He was playing so well that I think that he probably would be able to price out of what we probably pay from another team that saw him, like kind of what Wiley did with us last year. Wiley looked good, got a 3-year, $24 million deal from the Commanders, and then boom, he left. Alec Gray was probably trending towards that way with the way he dominated in the back half of the playoffs. And then Prince with the quadricep injury, I don't know. I feel like we could be able to get him at a very cheap price kind of thing. And I don't know what that is, but he's proven when he does get playing time, it's being able to stay on the field, which we also have that same kind of thing with Niang, who's also still in the roster. So it's like, yeah. But Donovan Smith, I don't know. Do you think Donovan Smith, based on if you were GM and based on what you saw this year, do you think he – because, I mean, that was the whole thing. He signed a one-year deal with us to kind of prove it because he wanted a bigger contract and he didn't end up getting it, signs with Kansas City. Do you think he did enough as far as to get a bigger contract than what he got last year with us?
I do. I think so. Absolutely. If you're a starting left tackle here in the NFL, you should have, you know, you're protecting the most valuable man in the NFL too. So let's not forget that. What that translates into as far as contract, I'm not sure, right? Because we know we're going to have some constraints on far as like trying to sign guys. My thing is, could you sign Donovan Smith to maybe, let's just say you give him double of what he was making, $6 million a year, okay? All right? Do it for like 3 years. I think that's something that's doable, okay? $6 to $7 million, especially if he's not getting bites from other teams. I don't know. Other teams may be like, hey, man, look, we want to pay you 10 to 12, right? And he has every right to go if he's getting those type of bites and those type of opportunities, then I think he has to explore those things. I think he'll do the right thing for that. Like you said, he already has two Super Bowl rings. I think he enjoyed playing here. You know, he looked natural. But he definitely deserves a bigger payday than what we got. We got him at a good bargain, man, for $3
million. We did.
Does that mean that some of that – so here's the possibilities. There's talk and conversation that they may try to restructure Juwan too, right? So that might be a thing that, you know, that you can do to bring some of that money. We know you got Joe and you got Juwan both making – good money, okay? You want to try to keep that line together as much as possible. And that left tackle is pivotal. It is pivotal to our success. Unless you just think Wanye can handle it. You think Wanye can handle it, and then you say, hey, look, let's bring Prince back, then so be it. But those decisions are very, I mean, you got to work through this on this really, really well. You know what I mean? Because you got to flesh this out, man. It ain't like a, you know, see you later, we appreciate it. It doesn't happen like that with tackle, especially left tackle, protecting Patrick's blind side. And so I think I had this conversation with somebody was talking about left tackle, right tackles, like the nobody thinks like the. I said, look, man, it is a difference. And so, you know, the blind side is still the blind side. Right tackles are getting up there to make almost what left tackles are making, right? Because of just the pass rushers you had to go against, okay? And so what they started doing is they started taking their best pass rusher and putting it against our right tackles because we knew that left tackle was our best tackle.
Yeah.
So they was like, well, shoot, we need a good caliber right tackle just like we do left. But I do believe, you know, the blind side is one of the things because you just can't see it. And so you got to have a guy that's, you know, premier guy protecting Patrick Mahomes' blind side. Yep. But he did a good job, man, of just seeing things all around him anyway. He's got, you know, spatial awareness, you know, out the wazoo. But
you got to make sure.
Yeah, man. You got to have, like I said, a capable guy for sure. I like Donovan. I'm going to keep saying that. I would try to find something to get Donovan here for a long-term deal. That's me.
So I remember last year during the draft, I remember what we were trying to trade up to get a left tackle. I remember, like, I think we wanted Anton Harrison. We also wanted the dude from the Pittsburgh ended up drafting, the dude from Georgia. I forgot his name. But I remember we wanted both those guys. Didn't get him. Then we wait till round three to get Wanye. Now, it's a very deep tackle draft class. Let's say we do get the left tackle. And – based on what we've seen, besides Wanye stepping in this year, Mahomes has primarily had veteran guys be his left tackle. He's never really had to go into the season with a rookie left tackle. Now, is this something that would be interesting? Like, would you be surprised if they say, screw it, we're not going to go get Donovan, we're not going to go get Tyron Smiths of the world or the Trent Browns of the world on the left free agency? We're just going to go with a rookie. Would that be shocking to you if we don't bring in a veteran left tackle?
It would be shocking, especially if, you know, obviously left tackle's asking for a lot of money. If you just ask him to break the bank, man, we ain't got the bank to break it for. You know, we got other guys we need to break the bank for. So that's the reality of it. That's the reality of the Chiefs in their situation at this moment. Okay, trying to play, you know, Rob Peter play, you know, pay Paul. That's what we need to do. We got to get a little bit over here, a little over here, to, you know, to make sure our guys on the defensive side are good. But we know for a fact our left tackle's got to be a priority for us. Can you draft a guy? And it's always that question. Can you bring a rookie in and him doing a good job? He has to be one of the top, I'm telling you, first round picks, top 20 type of guys, like a no-miss guy. And we thought it was pretty deep last year with tackles. And I'm not sure how guys did and how they fared out last year for the guys that got drafted. I'm not even sure. But I know it's still a task that you had to take to at least keep adjusting to try to get into the NFL. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
Wanye Morris, to me, because he's had a year on his belt, is a better option than getting a guy as a rookie coming in. You know what I mean? Like, I would take Wanye Morris because now he's got experience. He's played against the best. So, You know, why not keep developing this guy if that's going to be the case, as opposed to getting another rookie and say, well, he's going to be a starting guy.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody like that who's going to come in and is just going to be lights out, Hall of Famer from the very beginning, okay? It's going to be better than Wanya Morris, at least in my estimation. Maybe I need to do a much deeper dive into the tackle position, left tackle in college, who's going to be drafted. So,
yeah, I was just kind of doing a brief like research on, and it was saying that the things that, well, I made the connection, the things that this draft's deep in are the kind of the needs of our squad, which is the offensive tackles, the receivers, D tackles, all through those positions we can definitely dabble in,
Marcus, these things I know. Guys that we know Donovan Smith, he played for a year. We had Wanya, who played for us in a year. Princeton then had for a couple of years. We know these guys. The guys coming out of college is always, it's a gamble. It's a gamble. You never know, man. Go ahead, brother.
No, I will say, though, with Veach so far, I know we love that, how he's found value in late round picks with the draft, the Trey Smiths of the world, the Creed Humphreys of the world. I mean, he has done a good job drafting late round linemen. Not saying that we're gonna, you know, put our fortunes on a late round left tackle, which that's kind of what Wanya Morris is, and the thing that you and I were kind of skeptical on with Wanya. Yeah, he's got a year under his belt where he's played primarily left tackle for a few games when Donovan went down, but he wasn't really a full on left tackle. He was a right tackle, left tackle, right tackle, left tackle when he was in college. So it was like we didn't really lock down the left tackle kind of guy in the draft because all the left tackles were going by the time he got to our pick. So we really didn't get a kind of this full-on left tackle type of guy. Maybe this is what we go for this year. I mean, I don't know, but like the fact that it just seems weird to me that we would kind of rest our laurels with a rookie left tackle to block for Pat's blindside, as you mentioned. It's a very important position.
I think at least for me, Wanya Morris has been here, and you solidified him being a left tackle. That's his position. Let him play that position. Let him develop. You got an offseason. You got, you know, training camp all ready to come in for the start of the season, for the year. So I would just develop him more so, try to get a guy, you know, into the draft. You know, use your draft picks for something else. I see a need. Wide receiver, we talked about that, wide receiver. I see a need at defensive tackle besides Chris Jones.
Yep.
Get a guy in here. You know, another pass rusher doesn't hurt getting a guy here. We talked about running back. We talked about maybe a tight end, okay? We're finding some guys. And so I think there's other needs there that you need to kind of look and explore and see what else you get. Especially if you got guys in the building. If you got guys in the building like Wanya Morris, and maybe try to talk Donovan to stay in there for another year, getting Prince, go that route.
So based on what your priority, you're saying Donovan, try to get Donovan. If that doesn't work out, then stick with Wanya instead of drafting a first-round rookie left tackle. That's what you do.
That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
But that's me. That's one man's opinion. I don't know. Shoot. So, hey.
We value everyone in the chat can agree. We value your opinion very much, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. I know a little bit of what I'm talking about.
You do.
I know the development of it when it comes in as far as tackles and, you know, the time it takes for guys to be, you know, be ready. Mm-hmm. I like Wanya Morris because he does have a year playing. And, you know, he's going against some of the best pass rushers out there. And he's known it. He's seen them. So it's good. It's good for him. It's good for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Donovan Smith's the only question mark there as far as the money, because we're talking about, you know, penny pinching this offseason with trying to keep our other guys in. But I wouldn't be surprised if Val Greddy and Prince are back on the squad. We'll see what happens with their recovery and their offseason timeline. But I wouldn't be surprised if those two. And then, yeah, all eyes will be on, I guess, to a lesser extent, we got Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed watch, and then Donovan Smith watch a little bit below those two.
yeah. And I think, you know, it's a price, right? That's what we're looking for. What is Donovan price tag? Okay. What is his price tag?
Yeah, 1 year. We got him at 1 year, $3 million last year. what a steal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's 30-year-old guy. So,
Janie, we have a question from our guy HVHY. I guess talking about maybe what your thoughts are as far as what you're looking for, be it draft or veteran guys. What are the things you're looking for in a lineman?
Definitely has to be all three of those: size, technique, speed, more quickness. That you want more athletic ability. You want to make sure his, you know, from the hips, his power from his hips. If he's able to kind of, you know, project out, striking guys, hand placement, knowledge of the game. But without a doubt, your feet's got to be, I mean, you almost have to have ballerina feet, just athletic. And so that anchor is so important, especially for tackles and offensive linemen. Leverage, guys to play with great leverage, great hand placement, strength, got to have strength. Strength is important. It's key. Especially want to stifle a pass rush. If you got a guy that's got a heart punch, you know, to take somebody's heart out, boom, that's what you want to be able to see. You know, I'm just that's what it is. That strike, you got to be able to have that strike, hand placement. You don't want a guy to be out here, you want a guy to be inside. You know, how close is he inside? But it, without a doubt, his relationship when he's in his, you know, pass blocking, you know, how good is he? Can he, when a guy's who has speed, can he adjust to a speed guy, bull rush guy? How does he do? How does he play? Does he play up high? Does he get over his toes too much? So there's a lot to look in right there, my guy. But yeah, those are all the good things. If you take it all, that's a lot that you take. You look for alignment. I mean, I'm writing these things down. I'm checking the boxes. Okay. From the things I checked out, Wanye has, he has size. He has athletic ability. His hands got to get better. He's got to get stronger. His feet got to get quicker than what they were. These are things that he can improve through the offseason. But I think he looks good. He looks good. I see flashes of like, okay, this guy right here could definitely be a starter here in the NFL. And then when you see him go up against a guy who's crafty like, you know, Crosby and the other guy, then it's like, oh, okay. We see, you know, the drop off. All right. And them jokers is like, they was tag team like, man, let me get a turn at him. Let me get a turn over there. And you don't want to see that. You don't want to see guys tag teaming like it's WWE over there. Yeah, but I think Wanye has all that ability in him. He starts developing that, man. I think he's gonna be fine. I think the coach has seen that in him. And I like it. I like that about him. But I need to see the strength. I need to see same thing, not playing too high, be able to get out of his stance a little bit faster and able to readjust. That's another thing. Crosby beat him on the inside. He didn't adjust real well coming back on the inside. You got to be able to feel that push and come back on guys. So.
Yeah, and I think we both agree. We both trust our offensive line coaching. I mean, they've done wonders with so many different guys throughout the years. So Andy Heck's done an amazing job. Shout out Northern Virginia, my high school alumni, Andy Heck. That's my guy. If Wanye, if they think that's one thing too. Everyone says don't question Veach. Yeah, we're going to question it. I mean, sometimes you have to question, but. If they do feel like, and definitely Pat's a part of this conversation too, if they feel that Wanye is good enough to be the left tackle this year or the future, then I trust it. I mean, because that's one thing, you know, people talk, they say, oh, they're getting Pat input on this with receivers, with skill players, a lot of stuff. But first and foremost, everyone saw us get teed off on that Tampa Bay game. Ever since then, it's like, okay, we need to be very cognizant of what we do in the O-line. That offseason, we've got Creed, we got Trey. And then last year we get Juwan, and then this year, I mean, are we going to stick with Wanye? We'll see. And then I think Pat's going to be very vocal about if they need to bring back Donovan or if they're confident enough to stick with Wanya. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think it couldn't have been a better scenario for us than Donovan Smith getting hurt, right? Unfortunately, him getting hurt, but it was able to prepare Wanya forward to see what he can do in games. So, it boded well for us because it's like, okay, this kid can shoot. He's got some game to it, play really well. He's physical. We've seen him coming out physical. That's him watching Donovan. He's watching. Like in practice, I guarantee he can sit there and like, look, you watch how when we mauling guys, watch how Donovan and those guys are mauling guys. That's how you need to play. And so that's the best scenario for Wanya to come in and learn behind a veteran guy like Donovan Smith, who had every potential to be one of the top left tackles in the league, right? Mm-hmm. He got hurt.
And I feel like the play calling, because we after that December game, that Raider game, that's when we kind of honed in and went this more ball control, balanced offensive approach, which I think if we had that kind of offense with Wanya there at left tackle, I think we wouldn't be even right now, we'd be saying, oh, yeah, we got our left tackle. I feel like the offense we had, we were still trying to, kind of not really having much of a flow to it, not really committing to the run. I feel like at that point, we're like, oh, man, like, of course, it's the rookie getting beat here because we're throwing the ball 50 times and not really having a flow to the offense. And when Donovan came back, that's when they kind of committed to that run, in the playoffs and stuff. So I think with the offensive approach that we had, I don't think it was beneficial to what Wanya was at that point in time.
I mean, that's definitely a conversation there for that. I had to go back and see. For me, even if Wanya had played well up until then, when Donovan had gotten well, I would have put Donovan back in the game. That's what I would have done. So I don't know if I would have been like, okay, Wanya's playing too good, unless he was just lights out, just killing people, and he just looked like this dude has no reason to be on the sideline whatsoever, right?
Yeah.
I just seen some, obviously with him coming in, a little deficiencies in some of his technique, his feet, those things of that nature. That was like, okay. He looked good for the little sample size we had.
Yeah.
Is he ready? I don't know. Can he carry that long? But I am more confident in him doing it now after him playing this year, no doubt. So they might agree with that too, Marcus. So
especially if it saves him a few coins there too.
Yeah, he ain't never lied about that.
But you were also so spot on with that. Cause I remember at the time when Donovan was coming back, I remember there were some fans who were saying, we're not going to go far anyway. Like, let's just take our lumps with Wanya. Let him finish out the season as the left tackle. And you were like, no, when Donovan comes back, he's going to be the guy. And then what happened?
Absolutely.
Well, no taking our lumps. Cause we got that ring.
Right. I've done this a time or two. So
what's that?
I said I've done this a time or two. Used to be an offensive line coach, man. All my guys went to college, and then JD knows a little better what he's talking about now. Okay,
I know your stuff. And it's not just limited to the O-line stuff, JD, because you were one of the few. Maybe the only voice that was saying, "Hold up, give MVS just give MVS's earn credence, guys. Just relax a little bit here." And what happened? I think we all know what happened in the playoffs.
We had a conversation. I'm going to tell my guys, we had a conversation. Go ahead, man. We were just having a conversation because Barbershop was like, man, I guess he took one of our tweets or something and he showed it to us all our boys in the top. Of it. Man, JD was like, yo, dude. I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. The worst thing you possibly do is you could have sat him and not do anything with MVS. That was the worst thing you do with a guy who's catching the football, right? Mm-hmm. That'd have been the worst thing that could possibly do against a guy like that. So,
and you found the silver lining because, you were talking about, you can't bench him with the way we're running the ball. He's the only one who actually blocks out there. And then, they never benched him. They kept him in there. And then they never benched him. And for whatever reason, with running his blocking ability or whatnot, he still stuck in there and, did his thing throughout the playoffs. So.
Slowly developing a confidence back, man. Slowly developing it back, right? And it takes time. And if I can give you something else you can do that you can feel good about, beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And then maybe that grows and that will, trigger something else of getting better confidently about doing something. And so, yeah, no doubt about it. So,
all right, so we're going to go to our current – so our current offensive line right now, these are guys who are under contract for this coming season. And JD made mention of maybe restructures coming for a few of the guys on this O-line. But this is the cap hit from a few of the guys here. And I also, from our starting linemen, I've also listed as to how long they're under contract for. So we got start off with guard Joe Tooney, $26.9 million cap hit. And he restructured last year. But he won't be a free. He'll be on the team for two more years. So not next offseason, the following offseason, he'll be a free agent. Jawan Taylor, $24.7 million cap hit. His dead cap is like beyond that. It's like 30-something million. So I don't think that's going to happen. Restricted free agent in 2027. So three more years of Jawan Taylor. Now, Creed Humphrey, this is where we get into the nitty-gritty here. So Creed Humphrey, $1.7 million cap hit, free agent next year. So this is his last year in Kansas City, unless they get a deal done. Our guy Lucas Niang, some people thought he was going to be the tackle of the future in Kansas City. $1.3 million. He's a free agent next year. Yeah, Wanye, he's going to be up in 3 years, so $1.2 million, not really much there. Trey Smith, $1 million. That's a steal. Unrestricted free agent next year, so that's another one that they got to maybe think about, you know, long-term deals coming here. And then we got tackle, can't pronounce his first name, but last name's Godrick. He's one of these future, I think he's one of these like, future guys, NFL international, kind of project, not really making much. He's free agent next year. And then, we got Mike Caliendo, who is an exclusive rights free agent this year, but based on what I've read, he's probably gonna be kept around as an exclusive rights guy, not really making much, about 750. Okay. So JD, when you look at this, obviously you got the big numbers here of Joe Tooney and Jawan Taylor that stand out to you. Do you think that's where that a lot is going to have to come from to, in order to extend guys like Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, we're going to need to kind of, I don't know, restructure some of these big deals we have here, because Tooney and Taylor, man, that's a big part of the cap here.
That's a big chunk right there. That is without a doubt where some of that had to come from, without a doubt. So, and I don't think those guys have an issue with it. I don't think they'll have a problem. At least I don't perceive them having a problem. You know, the team obviously with Taylor would be like, hey, look, man, we expected this, we didn't get that because of, you know, some of the penalties and whatnot. I'm sure they'll try to justify the cap hit being a little bit less than that. Same with Tooney, 26.9 milli. Woo! Goodness gracious, Lord have mercy. Woo! But he's been playing great ball, man. He's a great guard. That injury changes things for him. So, they'll probably restructure him for sure. Maybe try to get about $6 million back from him, six or seven.
You tore your pick. So for some of the listeners and viewers who, you know, didn't know when we talked about it, when you had this initial pec injury, you actually tore your pec. So, and I don't know, they've been very hush hush of what the injury was, and based on him missing 3 weeks, we could say it was a torn pri pec, however severity of it was. But did you feel like you played through it, obviously, which is just that's JD for you. But did you feel kind of ramifications of like? Not ramifications, but like residual effects of the pec injury, like throughout, like continuing to play, like would you still feel like residuals from having the initial pec tear?
I mean, it was, you know, it was pain. And what I did was, and I don't know, you know, because you had to think about, you know, as far as pectoral, like what part of the pec did he tear or what was hurt? What did he strain? You know, mine was up here in the tight top left quadrant, I guess. And I tore that part from the bone. And like I said, probably, you know, 50% of it, 60% like myself, still have a divot. I would, the pain was the residual effect of that, but I was restricted because I had a harness that would keep me from going back. That was where the touchy part of it was, because I didn't want to extend it to the point where I tore it fully from the bone. And then I had to necessarily have surgery. So I was restricted from how far I could go back. But it was good because I still have range to do particular things. I just couldn't go back this far. You know, you start doing that, then it's a whole different thing. I don't know where Tooney had his. That's what kind of made me question, like, okay, he's out for 3 weeks. Like, what's going on? Like, they may have thought it was bad enough where he may have to have surgery. Mm-hmm. It's a strain. I think a strain depends on where, like I said, where it was at. You know, I don't know. That was kind of, I assume he was coming back, you know, especially if they put him on IR. They didn't say, you know, surgery was needed. I assumed that he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it was just so uncomfortable for him, or maybe they didn't want to put him in jeopardy and they didn't want to say anything. And just kind of let it linger for a little bit, like, hey, you know, maybe he can, maybe he can't. So kind of left it up to him.
And they ruled him out so early, too, that the week of the Super Bowl. It was like Monday or Tuesday. It was like, yeah, it's not looking good for him. It's like, okay, yeah, he's not playing. So, I mean, yeah. But is that injury? Because obviously when a guy tears the ACL, MCL, you know, front office can use it. Like, hey, man, like, can restructure this, you know, coming back from a really brutal injury. Is that the type of injury where they can say, like, hey, like, you know, coming off of a really bad injury, like, I mean, it's a torn pec, but obviously we don't know where it is in the pec to say, you know.
Right. Yeah. So, it's you know, the muscle, you know, tears, you know, it can be significant or strain or how they want to, you know, fiber strain or tears, you know, they call those strains. I have no idea what part of the pec it was. You know, like I said, I know where mine was, and I've seen other guys who have torn pecs and other things of that nature. Still play, still come out and play. Like I said, same thing with a harness. You know, when I spoke to the doctor, you know, the team doctors, and was talking to him, what all my options were. And, you know, it went from, hey, we're thinking about having surgery, to, hey, you want to wear a harness. And I was like, I was opposed to, like, having surgery. I was like, I don't want to go under the knife if I don't have to. And so there was like option, like, hey, you know, some guys, if they have 50% torn or whatever, we might have to go to the knife to pull the muscle back out and attach it back. That's a possibility. And I didn't feel like doing that. I was like, so what's the other options? And so the other option was try to let it heal on itself, wear a harness to still play. And that's what I opted to do. That kind of shot me a little bit about Tooney.
Mm-hmm.
Shot me a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the biggest talks, obviously the biggest talk of the free agency, we've mentioned it. Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, that's going to be the kickoff to everything. But a lot of people are talking about the extension aspect of guys like Creed Humphrey, of Trey Smith, even guys on defensively. Talking about Nick Bolton possibly getting an extension this offseason. That's how good of rookie classes we've struck on the last few years. But when we look at Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, obviously the hope is they can extend both these guys and keep them of the two, between Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, who do you see has more of an importance on the O-line? Who would be a harder guy to replace between a Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith type?
Oh, man. Maybe Creed. Creed, because he's making all the calls. That's one thing you have to take into account. Finding a good center, man, you know, it's very important because you're snapping the football, all right? You got to make the calls, set the defense, and then you're playing all everywhere around you. You got both guards, you know, kind of, you know, their jobs. So you got some heavy-handed guys in inside that you got to be able to get. I think you could probably possibly find good guards in the league. Because you have two guys on out, you know, outside and inside of you, the center does, but he's got a little different duty. I would say that would be the hardest thing. We're probably, you know, trying to get Creed, you know, something like that here. I mean, Trey is as valuable, you know, as Creed is for what we do, and you know, trying to find a guy that can do what Trey does. Maybe an easier task. So That's my assessment. That's my assessment. If I, you know, if I had to take two, if I'm looking at the two different guys, Marcus, probably Creed would be probably the harder guy to substitute for.
Yeah. You know, we've had luck with centers over the last, I mean, we've literally gone from last few years, gone from Rodney Hudson to Mitch Morse to Creed Humphrey, essentially. And that's been pretty much been the last three guys that we've had here in this room, which is been awesome to say to go from those three guys. Now, talk about Trace, but so obviously Juwan Taylor's had issues and whatnot this year with the holdings, the false starts. But having Trey Smith with them, I think, would you say may have maybe covered up some other maybe deficiencies that Juwan Taylor may have had, having Trey Smith with them? And that's also something, too. It's like, yeah, we're paying Juwan Taylor all this money, but, like, we're getting rid of possibly one of the best guards in the game at Trey Smith. I mean, that's what kind of Juwan Taylor we're going to get in the post-Trey Smith era, too. That's over me, which I'm kind of scared about that potential.
No, I didn't really see anything as far as, you know, covering up any, you know, deficiencies from Juwan. I think Juwan did a pretty decent job. He held his own on that, you know, out there. Obviously, you know, the holding call and him being off sides. And part of that was, I explained it to people, but part of it is because Trey was lining up in the backfield further back.
Mm-hmm.
Trey was at times, okay, my assessment, okay, as an O-line coach, there were times that, you know, Trey's first year to me, and not as much this year, but he would get pushed back. So he would lose ground. You got to set the depth of the pocket at guard. Trey would get pushed back sometimes at guard. So those were things that would, in my head, I would look at. Obviously, some of the twists that were happening, passing off guys, you know, being on the same level is another thing that, you know, teams try to do to get, you know, guys off, expose them a little bit. Not saying that we had a huge problem with that, but in some games it would show up that I would see. But as far as, like, the trade cover for some of Juwan's deficiency, I didn't really see too much of that. I didn't. I think Juwan he's a very athletic tackle. I think, you know, he's a good tackle. His problem is, you know, the penalties.
Yeah.
That was the problem. Other than that, man, he did a good job for us. So.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I wanted to ask, just because, you know, having a special talent at right guard that can help, maybe possibly if a right tackle has any deficiencies, you maybe haven't helped there, but you didn't see anything, then I trust you.
I didn't see anything that I was just like, oh, my Trey's, you know, should look it out for this guy, right? I didn't see too much of that. But I will say, and I haven't said this to a lot, but we've seen at times how many times the guys were getting help. We were still getting chips and stuff like that for tackles.
Yeah,
people just didn't think that was possible when we had OBJ and Wiley here. Well, we don't need guys to get chips. Yeah, you do. I don't care who you. Everybody needs to get a chip. Everybody, and even if they're not expecting it, you're going to get it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the deal. You want to help guys out? Sure. If you ain't getting a chip, I'll be looking back like, hey, man, you see some ribs, you hit this sucker. You hit him as hard as you can. Take a couple plays out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of those things are kind of funny. You know, when I hear people say things like that, but our O-line overall did a great job for us. Did for us last year. That's why I was like, man, I'd like to see Donovan here for another year. Wanya would be able to come in and take that without a doubt. But
yeah, and then, money, what's that?
But that money, you still got the money. Woo-wee, 26. Lee, 24/7.
I mean, JD, you can literally take from Caliendo all the way up to Humphrey, and none of those guys even get close to what either one of those guys are making.
Man, yeah. And here's the thing, though. You know, you were talking about some of these guys are, like, talking about all the guys are going to be unrestricted free agents next year. I wouldn't even touch having a conversation on signing to these guys. Not at all. You don't have to. You don't have to say nothing to these guys.
Yeah.
You don't guarantee it. What do you mean? Hey, man, you play because we drafted you. Hello, that's what's going to happen. So you stick with us. Okay? We got the rights to you.
Do you anticipate either one of those between Creed or Trey getting an extension this year? Do you anticipate that? No?
I don't see it. Or Bolton either. I don't see any of those guys getting extensions right now. Hey, after this year is over, then we'll have conversation. We'll talk and all of that. But right now, hey, play your position.
Mm-hmm.
Play your part, man. Play your
part. If you see – and another question to that, if you see any of those things happen before Chris Jones or L'Jarius Sneed, is that a sign that's not – things aren't – the conversations aren't going well?
Yeah, you could definitely say it might – that might indication. Especially if they – now, if you ain't got money already tied in, and you don't know what you're going to do, shoot. Ain't might like, hey, man, what we doing? What's going on? Has the conversation stalled again? Again? I don't know. I'm just talking about with Chris.
Right.
I think, boy, these next couple of weeks, man, it's going to be something else. It's going to be something else.
Yeah. If I were to make a bet, I would say the next 2 to 3 weeks we'll have something done with either one of those guys. I think this week at the combine, I think it's going to be a very pivotal week for a lot of teams, but specifically our guys and just trying to either ink up or tag Sneed or Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But all right, guys. So that brings us to the end of our episode here. JD, it was an awesome kind of diving in on these big contracts that the offensive linemen have on the squad. People think of big contracts, think of the skill players. No. Our offensive line is getting taken care of. They're getting paid good money.
So get broke off, man. A couple jokers up there get broke out really well. Really well. So I ain't got no problem with it. I ain't got no problem with it whatsoever. You know, the thing is, when we talking about trying to get other guys in here, It had to be some concession, you know. These guys might make concession, get some other guys to keep guys here. So,
yeah,
these guys get it right. They'll get it right.
I will. I will say, like looking at Chris Jones and the last year at this time, I feel like it began with the kind of the troll type comments where he was saying stuff that people were like, "Oh man, is he gone? Is it done?" He's changed his profile picture on Twitter. His Twitter picture, him in a Chiefs helmet. And then he's liking stuff on Twitter of us potentially going after OBJ. It's like, okay, like, I don't know. He's playing a part of it. Maybe there things are going well. Maybe he wasn't just drunk at the parade when he said what he said. Maybe that there was a little bit of framework going on. So I'm optimistic about getting something done with Chris Jones. Maybe that's just me being hopeful, but I hope there is something to it.
So they talking about trying to go after OBJ?
Who was it? Was it Robert Griffin? Someone online, one of the ESPN expert guys, were saying the Chiefs need to go after. I think it was RG3. He said they should go after OBJ this offseason. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's my first choice of a receiver wise.
Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett. How about that?
Seattle needs to let him go, and then we'll pounce on that.
We'll talk him into it. We'll twist some arms and everything. And say, look, man, we'll make it a sweet deal. What we need to do.
we'll get his father on the show and have him and convince him that way.
Yeah.
But all right, guys. Well, that does it for us. We'll see you guys Wednesday night as we dive into some more stuff that's going on this offseason, because already it's been kind of a crazy offseason. Just before this, I'll give you a little tease ahead to what we're going to talk about Wednesday, but Charles Omenihu wants more money. I saw that right before I came off. I was like, oh man, that's gonna be a good Wednesday show. But decisions. All right, guys. We hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We'll see you guys Wednesday night. Love you, everybody.
Guys, love you too, Marcus. See y'all later.
See you, everybody. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.